I'm here with Steve Wallery from Marillion. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
You have just released a new album called Sounds That Can't Be Made. It's 3 years since the last release. What is the biggest difference for yourself?
This new album, I think it's one of the best things we've done. I think although it was 3 years, we did do a lot of other things in between. We were special guests to Deep Purple around Germany a couple of years ago, and then we did the tour with Saga. So we've been doing a lot of other things as well. But for me, everything's kind of come together on this album. We've all worked very, very hard on it, and I think it's a great collection of songs, and I think sonically it sounds fantastic.
Have you got an own individual favourite song on this, and why?
Probably Sky Above the Rain. I think musically it's really distinctive, and I think lyrically it's a subject matter that a lot of people can relate to, especially if they've been in relationships for a long time. And I think the combination of emotional music and an emotional lyric, you know, it creates something very profound and powerful.
What's your strategy in writing songs? Do you come together and write together, or is everybody writing for himself and then you get together in the studio?
There's not really one strategy. Sometimes people develop ideas at home and bring them into the band. Sometimes we jam with all five of us, sometimes with only two or three of us. A couple of things on this album, I've had loops going from my laptop, and I sort of, like the beginning of Gaza, I jammed with Steve Hogarth and Pete. So yeah, there's no one way of working. We did do quite a lot of writing when we went down to Real World, Peter Gabriel's studio. We had a couple of 5 day sessions down there, and that was very productive.
Are you all perfectionists?
Yeah, you have to be, really. You want every aspect of what you do to be as good as it can be, because people are going to hear it forever. So you try and get every aspect of what you do to be as close to perfection as possible, be it the writing, the arrangement, the mixing, and even the mastering of the album. You can mess up a record or a song at any one point in its evolution.
How many songs from the new album made it into the set list on tour?
We've played most of the album at one point or another, I think, with the exception of Montreal and Invisible Ink. I think those are the only two songs we haven't played yet.
Marillion is one of the most busy bands at releasing new products. Are you able, for your own, to name all of them at once, at least the ones of the whole that you are?
Oh yeah, no, I could go through all our albums. Yeah,
really?
You want me to? Yeah. I mean, obviously, Season's End, Holidays in Eden, Brave, Afraid of Sunlight, Marillion.com, Radiation. What else? There's another one I'm not remembering at the moment. The Strange Engine, actually, before Radiation, then Marillion.com, Arachnophobia, Marbles. Somewhere Else, Happiness is a Road, Less is More, and then the new album, Sounds That Can't Be Made.
Awesome, you got it all.
Yeah, I think so.
Your music is often described as art rock. Do you see it the same way?
I think labels are a very dangerous thing to give music. For me, there's only two kinds of music. There's good music and bad music. Anything else is meaningless. It's fine sometimes if you're trying to convince someone to give something a listen to by appealing to their tastes, by saying, "Oh, this sounds like a mixture of Pink Floyd and the Beatles or something." But generally, it can only be a negative connotation, and sometimes it can just be a big stick to hit you with to give you a reason not to listen to it, because, hey, I don't like that kind of music.
Is there anything you haven't done yet musically, and you think you would like to one day to do it?
Within the band, I don't know. We every album we try different things. Personally, I'd love to do some film work. I've recently done some work with an American composer on a documentary for PBS that's just been nominated for 3 Emmys. And I'd love to do more of that. I'd love to do, hopefully, a great film score one day.
You've been in South America. What was your experience? How was it?
How long have you got? It was absolutely fantastic. The audiences we have there are amazing. The joy and the passion of the people there is phenomenal. Just give an example, the first concert we played in São Paulo, about 3,500 people, at least half of the front row, tears were streaming down their faces listening to us. You know, there was such a strong connection between their music and their, you know, they just feel it. And it's a strange thing, you know, you kind of get used to European audiences, which maybe are a little bit more reserved, especially depending, you know, it varies from country to country, but I've never seen a reaction like that. It was just quite humbling in a way, really, to see how moved they could be by what you did. Quite a responsibility in some ways.
So any place in the world where you would say you are doing best?
Well, the biggest audience on this tour was in Santiago. We played a sold-out show there, 5,000 people. But the Mexico show was fantastic as well at the Metropolitan Theatre. That was about 3,500. Some of the biggest audiences that we've played to in recent times, I suppose.
You're doing a lot in interacting, such as putting on apps or putting shows on your online for download. So what is the latest release in that way?
I don't know. I don't know if you put any of the shows from South America up to download yet. I know that one of the fans has put together a Marillion app that's supposed to be very good. But, you know, we've kind of been touring for most of the time and we haven't been making this record, so I'm probably not quite as clued up as that as I would normally be, but we're always working on something. Mike Hunter's mixing the sound for the third of the convention DVDs from the last Dutch weekend, and he's also been doing some of the remixes. So yeah, there's always something in the pipeline, really, for us in terms of releases.
So any future plans? Just to finish the tour and.
Yeah, well, we finished this tour. We have 3 weekends again next year in March and April in the Netherlands and in the UK and in Montreal. So we're going to do those, and we're going to have a bit of a break for a few months. I'm going to try and finish my book of photos that I've been working on for the last 15 years. It's Postcards from the Road, because I've kind of documented the career of the band for the last 30 years, and I've got some amazing images from back when we all had hair. And I'm doing the thing actually for the German fan club over here just before Christmas. They've got a Christmas party that I'm going to be playing a few songs with a Marillion tribute band, actually a few of the old Fish songs that people don't tend to hear that much these days. But I'm also having an exhibition of some of my photos, and I'm doing a guitar clinic, because one of the other things I do is I have this thing called the British Guitar Academy, where I give these sort of master classes. So I'm going to do one of those for the German fan club as well.
What do you think about music and what's going on in the world in general?
It's the same as ever, really. There's lots of really bad music, and if you dig hard, there's some interesting music still being made, usually not in the mainstream. I think, you know, YouTube seems to be the way that a lot of people discover new music these days, especially the younger generations. But it's a shame that there none of the traditional media kind of follow that path, really, in terms of trying to discover interesting new talent. I mean, it happens, but maybe not as much as it should happen. You know, it doesn't really happen much in the UK, which is a real shame, because there's a lot of great artists, young bands, that struggle to get any kind of recognition from the media or from radio there. You know, it's very much dominated by a certain kind of pop music and all the whole Britain's Got Talent, Simon Cowell, glorified karaoke singing that really has no place, as far as I'm concerned, on the TV. I mean, it's cheap television to make, but it's got nothing to do with music.
Okay. Do you have a personal wish for the future?
Personally, I'd still like to be doing this in 20 years' time, really. I can't imagine anything else is going to give me as much satisfaction out of life. I've been in the band 33 years now. So I'd kind of like Marillion to make at least 20 albums. I mean, that's my personal target. So, I mean, that's probably another 7 or 8 years. And I can't see any reason for us ever to stop other than one of us drops down dead, really.
Awesome. The last question. Imagine you were live on a radio station and the DJ asks you spontaneously what you want to hear, any other artist, any song, not too unknown, please. This would go like, hi, this is from Marillion and I would love to hear.
It depends how obscure you kind of want to be in that situation, really. You know, my tastes vary from the classic prog bands to a lot of singer-songwriters. God, that's going to be very noisy out there, isn't it? You know, I mean, on one hand, I'd love to hear Shining Your Crazy Diamond by Pink Floyd.
Can you do it as a radio ID? Hi, this is Elena okay.
Hi, this is Steve Rotherick from Meridian, and I'd love to hear Shining Your Crazy Diamond by Pink Floyd.
Shine on your crazy diamond. the sky. You were.